How to think like a wealthy investor. That's today's show. Let's dive in. Hey, everyone. I'm Clayton Morris.
I'm Natalie Morris.
And welcome to the Investing in Real Estate show, Freedom Fighters, everyone. This is the show where we focus on helping you get and spend more time with your family by creating passive income, legacy wealth for you and your family, and being able to sit back and relax and know that you have passive income coming in every month on a regular basis. And the vehicle that we use is buy and hold real estate. That's our vehicle that we get there. So today we're going to talk about wealth consciousness. This is the idea that wealthy people think a certain way about building wealth that people who don't have money tend not to think about. And you often see it's very interesting to look at these different strata, wealthy mindset versus poor mindset. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Am I right?
Right. So one quote that comes to mind is from the great Jim Rohn. And he used to say this, "I've been rich and I've been poor and rich is better." And I thought about that a lot because, you know, the world changes for you considerably when you start to have wealth in your life. And I feel like there's a way in which when you're on the other side of it, because both of us can say that we've been on both side of those things, right? We've been rich, we've been poor, rich is better. Do we not agree?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Right. No one wants to go back to that.
Right. And so, but there's a completely different mindset on the other side of it. And you realize that, oh, you know, when I was poor, there was a lot of ways in which I chased away money. I chased away wealth because I was in a poor mindset. So we've been talking about that lately. And I think part of the impetus for this podcast is because you get a lot of people who call in to talk to you about real estate investing, and you are able to point out these like little, like, I want to call them like cactus pricks of fear that are sticking to these people yet. And you're like, that person's not ready. That person's not ready. Right. What are some of the languages that you hear that people are like chasing away their wealth by not having a healthy wealth consciousness?
Well, one thing I think that sticks out is that people blame other people for their lot in life. Right. And so occasionally we'll get an email into the office that says something, or maybe on our YouTube channel or something, there'll be a comment like, "I bet this is a scam. You're out to get me. You know, this is too good to be true." You know, like that sort of stuff. And I'm like, you're watching a free video on our YouTube channel right now, learning about wealth building.
Right.
I'm out
to get you. We haven't asked you for anything.
Right. So, you know, I hear a lot of that language from people that are scared, you know, or that they hold on to that. Maybe they've got a certain amount of money that they've been sitting on in the bank for a long time. It's that, you know, it's that one little nest egg, and they're just so terrified that someone's going to come along and take that away from them. And I used to live that way, so I can totally relate to that. I'm thinking about some of the other language, but some of that language stands out, like, you know, how do I know I can trust you, or how do I, and they're,
where do you make money in all of this?
And not even just about our company. I'm just trying to think more largely about the way in which people talk about money. Can you think of a few examples? I'll think of a few more here about just how people talk about money when they don't have it and they're coming from a place of fear-based consciousness.
Right. Or, you know, when they see something like a tax bill or a property management fee, that cuts into your profits. I can't do that. Or this is going to be a big headache. I'm sure it will take away time from my kids because I'm going to have to worry about who's fixing the toilets and that.
And I'm always like, you don't even have a rental property yet. Like you're worried about the toilets already. Like wealthy people don't think they've got 50 properties. They're not thinking about the toilets. They're thinking about their net worth and how to increase that overall. They're thinking at a higher level, right? I guess that's the point we're making here is that they're thinking from a place of height. And the reason we can talk about this is because I have suffered from this in my life. I have talked this way about money as being the root of all evil. It is something that I'm not worthy of, that I need to hold on to it. I need to hold on to it and hoard it in order to become wealthy. And that's the exact opposite way of doing it.
And so, you know, a lot of ways that you can you can challenge yourself in this endeavor is to think about, what are the ways that I think about money, and just sort of list them out. Like, do I think money is something that I can have, or do I think that's something for other people? Do I think that I could have it, but I have too many kids, or right. I don't know, I have a high student loan payment, or whatever, you know, I can't have it because, right? Whatever is on the other side of that because is really what's holding you back. And, you know, I've given this keynote a couple of times. We've talked about this a couple of times, this notion that money is nothing more than an abstraction. That's all it is. Because the money that's in our circulation and our economy today does not exist. There's only, I want to say, like 4% of it exists in paper form. The rest of it is just numbers in a computer. And so if your thoughts become things, if your beliefs really create your reality, your beliefs about money are proof numero uno that you are manifesting what's coming into your bank account. And so, you know, the other day we were talking about something. Oh, this is the impetus. So we went to this brand new restaurant in our town up in the mountains that we go to, and it had been open for 2 days. And we looked at the Yelp review and somebody said, oh, this food's too expensive for what it is. And we're like, this place has been open for like 48 hours and already someone's crapping all over it. Mm-hmm. And so we both could tell that the energy with which this Yelp review was written was just like this person wanted to be a hater. And I turned to you and I said, well, you know, when you feel poor, everything that's expensive feels like an affront.
Right. It's the same thing why I'm not a big fan of, you know, internet forums, right? For whether it's real estate or other places, because often you're going to find there's a lot of negativity, people talking themselves out of taking action. And there's a lot of fear-based in that. And so this person who left this review after 48 hours, I find it, I was kind of appalled by it actually, because here we had seen this brew house being built all summer, right? And right. It was this beautiful like stonework, and they put in all of these big brew, what do you call those? The big
canisters.
They brew the beer, you know, and so there were all these like local newspaper articles about this brewing house being built over the summer. And I was excited. I was like, great, we can get growlers and take them home, you know, and it'd be great to be able to go there and watch a Sunday NFL game or something like that and sit and have one of their own made beers that they're making here on the premises for this town. I think it's great for the town. They're going to employ a lot of people. It's going to be a great benchmark of this community. I'm excited about it. So when we drove up there, I said, oh, I bet it's open. Sure enough, it was open for 48 hours. We go in, we sit down, and, you know, these people are working really hard, but they've got a system, they had a vision for it, and I was super impressed by it. And so for someone to say that, oh, this food is expensive for what it is, again, it was coming from a place of, I guess, fear, right? It was coming from a place of, I can get a cheeseburger at McDonald's for $4. What's so special right. about this place, right?
Yeah. It just, we could tell that it was someone who was trying to be a hater because they were triggered inside of themselves that like they're asking too much of me for this experience. And so, you know, you said we should do a podcast on that, because if people can identify those places where they're triggered and then attack those and sort of blow it up, then they're much more set up to be successful investors. They're much more set up to sort of roll with the punches of real estate investment. And they're going to pass down this wisdom to their children, where they don't create children who are then afraid of money. You know, just the world really opens up for you when you think a certain way. And, you know, Clayton often has these investors call him and say, like, let's do this project, right? Because he's a relatively big name now in real estate investment. And people will say, well, we want people with this kind of money or this kind. Like, there's a whole world opening up to you because of this way of thinking. You know, like, we want to attract other people who have this amount of money, and that stuff just comes to you. So whatever your philosophy is, your personal spirituality, you know, every type of religion believes in this kind of manifesting. And so really, if you think about this type of prosperity and how you can hold yourself back. You can create so much inside of your family when you challenge yourself in that way.
I was speaking with, and this is not to name drop, but the other day I was, Robert Kiyosaki was kind enough to have me on his radio show.
Oh, really? Did you hear that name? Just
well, I think among our audience, we know it,
right? So, right there.
So the desk. From on the Rich Dad radio show. And during one of the commercial breaks, we were just having a great talk for like 10, 15 minutes, actually. I think the commercial break extended because we were just having so much fun talking about books. And Robert had recommended a book to me and we were all commiserating about it. And the book that he recommended was a book called Awareness by Anthony DeMello, D-E-M-E-L-L-O. And so I immediately bought it. Started reading it, and I even came home today and was talking about it with you over lunch and said, this book is fantastic. I said, because so often we're driven by fear and anxiety, and it's all fake. It doesn't exist at all. And one of the key takeaways in the book, to your point about our, we create our own reality, I'm going to read a little excerpt here. He says, most people, spirituality means waking up. Most people, even if they don't know that, are asleep. They're born asleep, they live asleep, they marry in their sleep, they breed children in their sleep, they die in their sleep without ever waking up. They never understand the loveliness and the beauty of this thing that we call the human existence. He says all mystics, whether Christian, non-Christian, no matter what their theology, he says one thing that they all get and understand, are unanimous on one thing, is that all is well, all is well. He says even though everything is a mess, all is well. Strange paradox, but to be sure, but tragically, most people never get to see that all is well because they're asleep and they don't understand that it's all a game. That when they're asleep, they think they're conditioned to believe that money is evil or that they can't be rich. And I see it in the way that people write their emails, you know, into the office, which is, I have no money. I'm going through a divorce. My life's a mess. I can't do this. I'm never going to be able to be wealthy. And is there a way for me to do this? And I say, absolutely. You know, I went through a foreclosure. I had all of my assets totally frozen. I couldn't buy a cup of coffee. Yes, you can do this. You can absolutely do this. It's just a matter of your thinking about it and really tapping into that sort of truth within you. If you're just sort of quiet about it, meditative about it, you can actually see a pathway forward if you allow that to happen.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, you know, we don't want to call you out for your fearful behaviors, but we want, when we see it, it's just, you know, it's so sad to us because we've related to it before. Both of us have been in that spot where we're like, you know, I was flipping through a magazine in a waiting room and it was, there was this beautiful, like Ralph Lauren outfit that I was like, I want that. I'm going to go buy it, you know, and maybe 10 or 15 years ago when I was a super broke college student, I would have felt really pissed off by that ad because I felt like it was showing me what I cannot have, like a lifestyle that someone else is worthy of. And I stopped and I thought, oh my gosh, I can just buy that, you know, just because of the results of all of these choices. And so, you know, not that, you know, I'm worth someday.
You know what I'm saying?
Like it changes your worldview.
What you're saying is, and not to sound like egotistical in any kind of way, I get what you're saying. I don't want that to come off as like, guess what? I can just buy any dress I want. That's not really the case. It's that.
Right. And I didn't. But, you know, the point was I didn't feel as triggered by it before. Whereas when I was young and broke and would watch Sex and the City and they would talk about all their $400 shoes, I would be so scandalized. And I felt like that's for them and not for me. You know, like right. That's for other people. And when you think about that type of lifestyle. Right. Yeah.
Well, and that's what that Yelp review was about, right? It's like, yeah, fine. These hoity-toity beer hall making their cheeseburgers and charging $9 for a cheeseburger. Yeah, that's, you know, it's that same sort of affront. Like they're almost feeling like threatened by this $10 cheeseburger, right? As if it's some sort of a threat to them.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, I mean, yeah, you don't want to be wasteful about your thinking and you don't want to be overly lavish or piggish with your money, but you really want to challenge anything. You know, what this entails is really listening to the voices inside of your head, because there'll be one voice that says, you can do this, give it a try. And then there'll be another voice that says, for some reason, is going to tell you why that's unsafe. And list out its reasons and just listen to the voices in your head and the things that you tell yourself and then figure out if those things are true. Most of the time they're either you don't know if it's true or not, or you haven't tried or you haven't done any research, but like this is a scam kind of stuff is like that's you proving to yourself that you can't do it, when of course you can. If we can do it, anyone can do it.
Right. I mean, I guess, and if you look in the real estate world, like, we've definitely had maybe the tale of two different types of investors, right? We have one investor who builds pools for a living, right? So he totally understands construction, and he's just like totally hands off, and he just bought 20 properties with us, and he's like, great, I'm super excited about it. When can I buy the next 20, right? And he's just kind of like, hey, I'm going to go watch some football.
Right.
You guys know what you're doing. Great. Then we have another type of investor who might literally cobbles together like every piece of their 401k loan, and then they're pulling like this money from grandma or whatever it is, you know?
Yeah.
And then they're like sitting there like waiting for that rent check to come in on that very first time, you know, like to prove to themselves that they made the right choice. But they're also that voice behind them is telling them not to trust themselves, right? And so they're like living in this place of constant fear, and then they're like emailing every day like, is it rent time? Is it rent time? Is it rent time? Like, they don't really, they haven't really put their faith in themselves, right? What if that person who's sitting there worried about every little dime sort of operated like the individual who, you know, builds, you know, $40,000 pools for a living? You know what I mean? Like, what if that sort of mentality were shifted? Right. What if they could trade brains for an afternoon? How differently would she feel? Really, nothing's changed, right? Mm-hmm. She just changed her reality, her perception of her reality. And that's really the difference. You know, there are a lot of people like her that don't think like her. They think more abundantly. And guess what? More abundance comes to them. I mean, it's just a universal law. It's true. We now know it to be true. It's not malarkey. We know this to be the case. So,
but it's just really hard to do when you're so used to talking, to listening to that sabotaging voice. Mm-hmm. You know, for a lot of people, poverty is comfortable because you've told yourself it's too hard to build this amount of dollars, and only certain people with a certain leg up can do it. And, you know, I have these extra challenges, right? So you've already told yourself why you can't do it. And that voice now is strong. That's like your singing voice, because you listen to it all the time, right?
Right.
So what you have to do is starve out that voice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's can be hard to do. Like, it is hard to do, to wake up, to be aware, and to truly, when that little negative voice starts coming into your head, just sort of separate yourself and kind of almost look at it as if you're looking at your friend, seeing like, why would I let my friend talk to themselves that way? Like, you're just being so down on yourself. You know, you wouldn't want your best friend talking about themselves. So if you can sort of almost separate yourself, sort of have an out-of-body experience, and watch the language that you're putting out there, not only to yourself, but to your children, about wealth building and abundance and consciousness, you're going to see a dramatic shift, I think.
Definitely.
I wanted to leave you this with one story that came out of this book, Awareness, because I told it to you. I love this little chicken story. So there's this, he leads off the book by talking about this golden eagle who falls out of a nest and then lands into this chicken coop as a baby. And then the chickens raise this little brown eagle to, you know, as a chicken, basically, as one of the other chicks, because he's there and they're trying to help him, right? So his whole life, he thinks he's a chicken. And he's living his whole life with these other chickens until one day he's old. He's kind of hobbling around the chicken coop. He's this old brown eagle. And he looks up in the sky and he sees this beautiful brown eagle flying with just like one flap of the wings, is able to soar. And he asks the other chickens, what's that? And they said, oh, that's a golden eagle. That's the king of the skies. And he can soar above everything. Well, here he was, a brown eagle, his whole life, but he didn't know it. And then he passes away and dies. But he lived his whole life as a chicken. Right. So his reality was shaped by being asleep, by not being aware of who he could truly be. And I love that little story. It's like, we're all living like chickens. We really are. Once we realize we can tap into this enormous potential of this that's out there, we can transcend all of that.
Yeah, definitely. I love that, because most of us don't realize our creative power. Mm-hmm. And so many people listen to this and think, well, that's just for them, because they have, I don't know, you can list all kinds of things that we have, and we can list why we think we shouldn't have it. Like, we can come right back at you if you want to give us excuses, mm-hmm. and tell you why we shouldn't have those things, right?
Right.
But wealth is not for other people. Wealth is for you listening to this right now. And so identify your sabotaging thoughts and burn them. Get rid of them.
Yeah.
You know,
love it. So there you go. And you know what? We're going to put together a little cheat sheet for you that Natalie kind of talked about at the beginning of today's show, asking yourself these specific questions about wealth. We'll put it together, 10 questions for you on a cheat sheet that you can download for free. We'll put the link right here in this episode. So in the show notes right below this episode, just click on the link for the free download. Download it, sit down, and be honest with yourself. Go through it and give yourself a score. You know, how many of these questions are you able to answer honestly? And be vulnerable, because no one's looking over your shoulder. This is about you. So answer these questions, and I think it could really help you on your road to building wealth. So,
right. I think Clayton just gave me homework. I filled a cheat sheet.
That's right. Well, that's going to do it for today's episode, everyone. Thank you so much for listening and watching the Investing in Real Estate show. We publish this show multiple times per week. Now go out there, take action, build wealth consciousness, and become a real estate investor. We'll see you next time, everyone.
Bye, everyone.